We publish many books every year, a quarterly journal, the Independent Review. Our books and our journal cover everything on economics, history, politics, law, and other areas. We host many forums, such as this one, both here in Washington, D.C., as well as in our California offices in Oakland, California. Our latest publication is Street Smart, Competition, Entrepreneurship, and the Future of Roads. This is a wide-ranging examination of the problem and solutions to road congestion, maintenance, road maintenance, construction, and safety. And Street Smart draws not only on the U.S. experience, but also on innovation in the management of roads, which is now occurring on a worldwide scale, in London, Singapore, Philippines, Sweden, and elsewhere. Here in the United States, we are frankly lagging behind. The typical peak traveler in the U.S. wastes 47 hours a year in congested traffic. That's 3.7 billion hours of time wasted that, with better management, Americans could be spending with their families. Instead, as they sit metaphorically and literally fuming in congested traffic, 2.3 billion gallons of fuel are wasted. Now, I don't really need to give you these figures, however. If you live in Washington, you already know how severe the problem is. The 66 and 495 are congested every day from 7 to 10 a.m. and again from 3 to 8 p.m. Attempts at solutions have been worse than useless. 66, for example, is HOV only. Maybe it should be HIV only. It is certainly a dying, unfortunately. HOV only during rush hour, perhaps the only road in America with that status, HOV only. Why not make it HOT, a high occupancy or toll lane? Now, tolls have traditionally been frowned upon, both because of delays due to traffic toll collection and also to negative public opinion. But technology has solved the first problem, and the public is changing their mind on the second as they come to realize the tolls are just user fees. And user fees are not only efficient, they are fair. In a January 2005 poll, for example, Washingtonians by a factor of 2 to 1 said that tolls were better than taxes to pay for highway expansion or new highways. Unfortunately, politicians have not yet gotten the message. Just yesterday, the Republicans refused to endorse new taxes for new roads, and the governor's spokesman responded that the alternative is, quote, borrowing and diverting money from public schools, colleges, public safety, and public health. Okay. Well, there is another alternative. That's nonsense. User fees are an efficient, fair, and technologically sensible approach to financing the building and the maintenance of new roads. A lot more can be done, however, not just user fees. And we've assembled two expert panels for you today to enlighten us on the past, present, and future of road pricing and road privatization. Our first speaker is Gabriel Roth. Gabriel has worked in transport issues on five continents for many years, 20 of them with the World Bank. He's a pioneer in the application of market principles to the provision of roads. He's also a research fellow at the Independent Institute and the editor of Street Smart.
Talking about the book, Street Smart, I would like to pay tribute to the Independent Institute and its president, David Theroux, who commissioned this book and saw it through to publication after a five-year period. I'd also like to pay tribute to Alex Tabarrok, who is director of research for the Independent Institute, and who really co-edited this book. He reviewed all the drafts, he found some of the authors, and he helped in numerous ways, and I'd like to say thank you, Alex. Now, I suppose that the best way to start a discussion on this book is to quote a famous American philosopher, Will Rogers, who is supposed to have said, to end traffic jams, have government provide the cars and private industry the roads. Now, I think the having government provide the cars is a topic that should be left to another meeting. But what we want to look at today are the possibility of private industry providing the roads. Now, why should the present system be changed? I can think of three reasons. First, it is not responsive to consumer needs. We all know the statistic that in 10 years, the traffic has grown 38%, lane miles have grown only 5%. Why the political system does not respond to road users is something that I'm not clear about. After all, road users do vote. But the fact is that the process does not provide for the consumers who are road users. It does not give them the facilities that they are prepared to pay for. The second reason is that the present system utterly fails to deal with congestion. Now, congestion is an old phenomenon, and it's been around at least since the times of Julius Caesar, who decreed that goods wagons should not be allowed into Rome because in the daytime because of traffic congestion. It is also known as a disease of civilization. Of course, all economists realize that congestion is really a response to underpricing. And educated economists realize that it is a response to the lack of property right in roads, which is something we're going to get to. As long ago as 1924, the economist Frank Knight pointed out that if urban roads were privately owned and if the owners could charge prices for them, there would not be excessive congestion. Now, the third reason why the present system does not work is because it restricts the freedom of mobility. People like to move around. As they get better off, as income rises, they have more and more places they want to go to, more and more people they want to meet, and the restriction on motorized mobility seems to me to be a restriction on freedom that should not be tolerated in a free society. Well, what then should be done? The change that is needed is to apply to roads the allocation and investment principles we use in the market economy. We use them for water, electricity, telecom. Why not for roads? These principles lead to attributes. Consumers pay for what they get, and they get what they are prepared to pay for. So why not apply this to roads? Well, it might be said, what has this got to do with the private sector? Why not get the government to act commercially? Now, the last thing I want to do, especially as a foreigner, is to suggest that the government here is less than perfect, or to suggest that people working in government are not as clever or as hardworking as people working outside. But that's not the issue. Government has to consider many, many things, and there are certain things it cannot do. For example, it is very hard for it to raise prices. As we all know, when we look at transit prices, governments are often led by whims and fashions of the leaders. In Britain, the ruling New Labour Party happens to believe that railroads are the best way for transport in the modern times, and that people should leave their cars and switch to railroads, which was a mode of transport which has very important uses, but it was in fact developed to help horses pull wagons in coal mines some 200 years ago. We do not want our transport systems determined by whims of this kind. We want them determined by what people are prepared to pay for. And it is very interesting that when the railways became strong, the need for toll roads in the 19th century collapsed, and with it many of the companies that provided it. When the private sector is involved, if there's no demand, there's no provision. The private sector does not provide roads to nowhere. And finally, the government cannot be trusted to spend funds in the interest of those who pay. For example, in this area, the Dulles Rail extension is to be partly funded out of tolls on the Dulles Toll Road, which was built specifically for users who do not use Dulles Airport. In London, people pay congestion charges, and that has increased traffic speeds and reduced volumes, but the revenues are not used to improve the road system. Well, what can the private sector do to deal with these matters? Let me give a few examples that are discussed in the book. First of all, it can test and license road users, drivers and vehicles. If insurance companies were to do that, by insurance companies I mean the insurance company that that test and certify those that they insure, there would be enormous financial incentives to avoid accidents and to increase road safety. There's a whole chapter on this in the book. Second, it can maintain and manage roads to government standards. The government or the road owner can say what standard the road should be at, what standard of roughness, for example. Then private sector firms can find the best way to do this. And in that way, you have development of new methods to maintain roads. This works very well in Virginia and in the District of Columbia. And, of course, the private sector can provide new roads. Dan Klein is going to tell us a wonderful story about how this was done in the 18th and 19th centuries. Just about 100 years ago, the first motorway was privately provided by William Vanderbilt, the Long Island Motor Parkway. 11 years ago, the express toll lanes were opened in California. They allow travelers to avoid congestion, and the instrument to produce this are tolls electronically collected, which are changed to ensure that there's no congestion at any time. These express toll lanes, by the way, are being planned for this area to widen the beltway and to be done by the private sector. There's a whole chapter on that in the book. And then we know the Dulles Greenway, a road which was conceived by the late Ralph Stanley, had starting troubles, but is now playing a very useful role despite competition from free government-provided roads. So what could be done next? Certainly, the private management and maintenance of roads can be expanded. Some existing roads could be commercialized. HOV lanes, high occupancy vehicle lanes, were mentioned earlier. as Alex said, they could be turned into revenue-earning hot lanes, that is, high occupancy or toll lanes. And in fact, this could be done on a large scale to allow the private provision of express toll lane networks in whole cities, as discussed in chapter 19 of the book. What is the main obstacle to reform? Some people think there's a conspiracy among government officials to keep roads in the public sector. I do not believe this for a moment. I think the main obstacle to reform is public ignorance. The purpose of this book and of this meeting is to help overcome it, and I'm very happy to present it to you. Thank you.